The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
You know, baby announcements over the years have kind of taken some twists and turns back when I was born, certainly, and even back when we had our own children. You know, baby announcements usually came in the mail, right? I mean, or people actually published them in the newspaper. And so you either had to get a message, you know, with a little card, baby announcement in the mail, or maybe a phone call. Somebody called you and went, hey, I got some news to share. Or maybe you actually saw it in the newspaper back in the day. And that's a little bit different. You know, even back in the day, you had to wait around until you actually saw the baby. And that could be weeks, months, right? Maybe next family gathering before you actually saw a baby. Well, obviously, with social media, things have changed dramatically. Baby announcements are no longer mailed or put in print or delivered by phone call. This is what we get today. You can't read that. The poor little boy is saying, I'm going to be a big brother. That's the way we find out on social media about baby announcements, right? And some are creative and some are unique and some you look at them and go, why did you announce you're having a baby that way, right? I mean, let's be honest. And usually it's followed very closely by this. The ever popular now gender reveal. Back again when we had our two, we did not know the gender of either child. Didn't even have the possibility of finding out. We didn't have that. But this was a gender reveal, and obviously they're having a boy, and somebody had a lot of explosives on him, a little bit of rock and say. And during this announcement, well, things went a little bit awry because up in the upper right-hand corner of that picture, you see the result of what happened. This actually started a wildfire. And I don't know who made up the explosive, but he got put in jail. And so baby announcements have gone from being very kind of just boring, if you want to say, and just kind of innocent, to this. And of course, you know, everybody has to better the other one, right? I mean, you've kind of seen that. You know, baby reveals, first it was just the cupcake, right? We saw one at the cupcake. And then that wasn't good enough, so they went to this. I actually saw one as I was looking up a picture of baby reveals gone bad. A guy who was supposed to spin out in this really nice car, looked like a Camaro maybe, or even a Dodge Charger. He was supposed to spin out, and somehow it produced blue smoke. Well, he spun out, and it produced blue smoke, but while he was going around, he could not see and ended up totaling that car. Yeah, everybody has to one-up each other on the announcements now or on the gender reveals. We're in the book of Isaiah for Advent, and the theme of our Advent series is up on the screen. It's called, that is, the awaiting his coming. What is it about having a child that is the most exciting? It's the anticipation, right? It's the knowing that a child is going to be born. In the book of Isaiah, and that's what we're going to return to this morning, so you can flip there, Isaiah chapter 9. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is talking to the nation of Israel, and they're in a pretty bad place. Picture is pretty bleak for them. They are under assault, even some experienced captivation and death. And in the middle of all of this very dark time for the nation of Israel, God, as he always does, shows what he does, and he shows up with new life. And that's what he does in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, we see a little bit of a shifting in what Isaiah is saying to the nation of Israel from a little bit of doom into hope. So let's read this together. And this is the idea I want us to hang on as we read this passage. The passionate intensity of God through the birth of Jesus brings hope to our lives. The passionate intensity of God through the birth of Jesus brings hope through our lives. We're starting in verse 1 of Isaiah 9. But there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time, he brought in contempt the sea and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. He has multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood, the child is burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And this prophecy coming from Isaiah comes after he also the prophecy of Jonah. Remember Jonah? We studied him back earlier this fall. He also prophesied, but he was prophesying outside of the nation of Israel. So this comes after that, as you kind of think in the timeline. And what did Jonah do? Jonah warned Assyria. Assyria, you better turn from what you're doing or God's going to zap you. You got 40 days. Well, they relented. Obviously, just for a short time period. Because here we are now, just a few years removed, and Assyria is again demonstrating their terrorist ways. They're back taking captive part of the nation of Israel. At one point, the northern part of Israel, the northern tribes of Israel will be of Israel. And so they're back at it again. And so you can imagine in the people of Israel at that time, they're looking back again when they had a little respite, when Assyria was still relenting. And now all of a sudden, everything's back on them. They feel a little bit powerless, a little bit afraid. They feel like the darkness has come back upon them. Definite brokenness. And probably they felt a little bit abandoned and a little bit forsaken by their God. Ask us a question this morning. Have we ever been there? Where place where it's a little dark, a little place where we're afraid, a little place where things are broken, a little place where maybe we feel like God isn't for us, with us, around us anymore. We may be there now. But in the midst of all of this, Isaiah gives them a beautiful picture of hope in the middle of their brokenness. Here's what he says to them. A child will be born one day. His presence will change everything. He will dwell with his people. He will defeat their enemies. And he will reign forever. Now here's the deal. On most births, this baby announcement was really early. You know, most birth announcements come out soon after the baby's born, depending upon the organizational skills of the parents or the lack of sleep that the parents have got or the amount of sleep the parents got. Usually the birth announcements come out shortly after, right? Well, the birth of this child did not happen immediately. This was foreshadowing. But this one's a little different. This one is 700 years before the actual birth of the child that's talked about here. You say, well, where's the hope in that? I mean, the prophet Isaiah could have brought and delivered this message, and God could have right then fulfilled that prophecy, right? He could have brought that child that was going to bring about all these things. But he didn't. Isaiah was addressing here a future king, a future hope that was to come. And so even though it was a delayed fulfillment of this prophecy, and even though Israel had to continue through a 700-year time period before this hope actually arrived, it still was a gift of God, because in the middle of their darkness, Isaiah stepped in and said, it will not last like this forever. Things are going to change. There's going to be a child who's going to be born. He will be king. And the interesting thing about this birth announcement is it actually came with titles, and it actually came with four names attached. Now, we all give out names to our children. If we have children, we gave them names when they were born. That's not unusual. Some cultures, more than one name is unusual. In ours, most people have three. Some just have two. That's okay. But this child was different. Look at verse 6. His peace shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. One name was not sufficient for this child. Now imagine if you got a birth announcement today that read something like this. Birth announcement of, and this child is going to be an excellent violin player, academic scholar, gifted athlete, and the future CEO of a major corporation. We don't see birth announcements like that, do we? Why? Because that baby has not accomplished anything yet, except for crying, wanting to eat, and making bigger messes than any human being that size ought to be able to produce. That was my first thought when we had our first child. Speaking of our first child, this was our first child, Jordan. This was back when he was willing to wear this type of outfit or was forced to wear it. His name's Jordan, and it was interesting. When he was born, we named him Jordan, and that was about that time of the heyday of a particular basketball player named Michael Jordan. And at that time, I was coaching basketball. So everybody thought, hey, Jim, Alice, congratulations. What's your son's name? We had a boy, didn't know we were having a boy. His name's Jordan. Football player one day. Oh, that's so cool. You named him after Michael Jordan because you're a coach. Is he going to be a basketball player one day? I had to look at him and go, I don't know. Because I didn't know. And I'd look at him and go, well, if he wants to, well, certainly he's going to be a basketball player because you were a basketball player and you coached basketball. Well, if he wants to. This is our second child, Reagan, when she was just a baby. And she was born 3 years after President Ronald Reagan had just left office. We didn't know that she was going to be a girl. Had names picked out. And when everybody found out that her name was Reagan, they go, oh, that's so cool. Everybody loved Ronald Reagan. So you named her after Ronald Reagan, didn't you? Nope. Matter of fact, the name we had picked for her was Alexis Cheyenne. And that was the name that it was going to be if it was a girl. Well, she came out with a little bit of drama. She had the cord wrapped around her neck. She had a faint heartbeat. For those of you who know about the Apgar score, yeah, she had a 1. Like, that's like 0 is the worst and 10's the best. My son had a 10. She had a 1. She was delivered a drama. So we had a little drama. Well, after that 10-minute span of that little drama, she was delivered, and we heard her scream, which is one of the most blessed sounds I ever heard in my life. The nurse looked at her and said, you have a little baby girl. What are you going to name her? And my wife and I looked at each other, and neither one of us looked at the nurse and went, Alexis Cheyenne. We looked at the nurse and went, it's like we froze. It's like all that drama had just taken everything. And we were like, We looked at each other and we went, well, and literally within a minute we went, Reagan Alexis. Yeah, that sounds good. And what my daughter looked at her name. Neither one of my children came with titles. This is what my daughter looks like now, by the way. Still very dramatic. 28 years later. But neither one of our children came with titles. Neither one of our children came with descriptions. Birth announcements don't list future accomplishments. This one did. because this child was different. He did come with titles and expectations. Let's take a closer look at them. Let's take a look at that list that's in verse 6. The first title that we see that this child who Isaiah announced was coming and was going to bring hope to a nation in was Wonderful Counselor. Now, we're all messed up on this because of Handel's Messiah, okay? In the original text, it was not Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. No, it was Wonderful Counselor, not Wonderful, comma, Counselor. But yet we, still to this day, most of us, I never knew that. I always sang it with Handel's Messiah. That's the way it was. It's wonderful. He's wonderful. I mean, that's a pretty good title by itself. And then Counselor. No, it's Wonderful Counselor. And what does that mean? That title means that he was a source of extraordinary wisdom. Supernatural source of extraordinary wisdom. Amazing news for the people of Israel at that time? Absolutely. Incredible news for us today, who are sitting on the other side of the birth of this child, knowing that these titles are still his? Yeah, it's absolutely. If you're not thrilled by that this morning, knowing that there's someone who has come to this earth and who came to this earth and is performing the duty of ordinary wisdom, Wonderful Counselor. The supernatural source of extraordinary wisdom. This was a child that, at his announcement, people knew that he was going to come and meet their needs. What's one of the things that a good counselor does? Not only imparts wisdom, right? A good counselor does what first? Listens. And so that Wonderful Counselor is seated at the right hand of his Father even today, listening to us, to our every need, and then imparting extraordinary wisdom to us. This was the hope given to Israel. 700 years later, that hope became fulfilled. And now today, we are living in the midst of that fulfillment. How about you today? You in need of a Wonderful Counselor? Are you in need of someone who can impart that supernatural, extraordinary wisdom right now in the middle of a life of yours that may desperately be crying out for that? Can I give you hope this morning? And not just because this is an ever-event season, because this is an ever-present hope 24/7. There is a child whose birth was announced who is your Wonderful Counselor. Now, that would be enough, but the titles go on. The next one is Mighty God. Mighty God. Meaning a child that would come and would be divinely strong and powerful. Again, amazing news for those in the nation of Israel who at that time felt anything but powerful, and they felt like their God, this is incredible, was not the strength of their life at that time. This is incredible news. As the oppression of the Assyrians came down on them, God was saying to them through the prophet Isaiah, not only do you have a Wonderful Counselor who's living, listening, and imparting wisdom to you, but you have a mighty God who is ever present, strong and powerful in the middle of what you're facing. And this king that is coming is going to make everything right again. I heard this, I don't know how many years ago, but it stuck with me when it was said. It has been brought back to my memory many times, and it was while I was studying this passage. I heard this said, and it falls under this title of Mighty God. The Trinity never meets an emergency session. Mighty God is never surprised by anything that has happened, is happening, or is going to happen in your life or in mine. This mighty God prophesied in this passage, born and now living it, sitting at the right hand of his Father, is not sitting up there wringing his hands going, oh my, what's next? The Trinity never meets an emergency session. That mighty God is present now. Do you need that today? Because that's part of the promise of this Advent. There is a mighty God. Not there was, there is. But not only is he a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, but look at the next title that's given this child, Everlasting Father. Now, sometimes honest, sometimes fathers don't show up. Sometimes fathers leave. Sometimes fathers do cruel things. Sometimes fathers don't nurture and care and provide like they should. That's real life. This description of this father is so vastly different. This is talking about one who will care for his people, and it says that this everlasting father is going to be there forever. This is not a father that will leave. And this is great news for those who are alone, who feel a father unappreciated, abandoned. And memories of fathers who aren't faithful like this can be very painful. I know that. And it's been proven that many times the view that we have of our Heavenly Father can be so developed and influenced by our earthly father. And sometimes even during the holidays, it's tough because the idea of an unfaithful father comes full of us, and it hurts, and it's painful. But what Isaiah is describing here to the nation of Israel, and what is described here of the one who has already come and who is sitting at the right hand of the Father, is a whole different picture. That is a father who is present, who is here, who is loving, who is nurturing, who is a protector. And he's not going to walk away. So I ask you this morning, maybe you serve with you that wonderful counselor. Maybe this morning it's already hit a nerve with you that the mighty God in your life has been non-existent. Or maybe you need the picture that was painted of this babe that was coming 700 years later of the person who is, has been, always will be, an everlasting father. He is present today, wonderful counselor, mighty God, Everlasting Father. And if those weren't good enough, Isaiah delivers one more piece of good news on this child's job description. And that is that he says, if you look at verse 6 again, he is coming as the Prince of Peace. Jesus will bring deep well-being and right relationships, and he will bring peace into all of those. We're in the middle of a holiday season, and sometimes holiday seasons can be anything but peaceful. I mean, just getting together with family sometimes is not peaceful. You know it. You know you're heading into it. And it's right but that. The relationships there amongst family are just not right. The relationship that the nation of Israel was in at that time with their own God and with their neighbors was not right. It was jacked up. It was anything but peaceful. So maybe some of you are thinking, man, do I really need a Prince of Peace in my life, particularly over the next two or three or however many weeks Christmas drags on for us and our family. Or maybe you need it far beyond what you may be anticipating facing, particularly when it comes to relationships, to 24/7, 365 brokenness. Oh, this child came with the title of Prince of Peace. And the cool thing about it is that when it describes that he's going to be the Prince of Peace, it says that he is going to be that forever. Not just for a little bit. He's not just going to bring a little peace, sprinkle it over you, and then leave. You know, he's reigning as the Prince of Peace. So all of these things, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How can Isaiah guarantee the people that he's talking to at that time that this child will come? What's the seal on this birth certificate? What makes it authentic? Well, look in verse 7. Because verse 7 authenticates the promise. It says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The definition of the word zeal is this, and I loved it. Didn't know what the definition, I just thought zeal meant like you were really like zealous, right? But I didn't know what that meant, except that maybe you were a little energetic about what you did. You know, if you talk about a person, you say it all means jealous. That means they got high energy, right? Here is what the definition of zeal means. And if you insert these two words in here, it makes this verse just jump out with authenticity. Listen to this. The passionate intensity of the Lord of hosts will do this. Isn't that awesome? You see, God's on a mission of redemption, folks, that he's been on since the fall, since man chose sin over Creator God, and a relationship was broken. God's been on a mission of redemption since then, to redeem all of mankind back to himself. That's the zeal spoken of in Isaiah 7. That's the mission of redemption spoken of. And it came in the announcement of this child with passionate intensity. Isaiah used the word zeal, I'm sure, because he wanted to really have the nation of Israel understand God is so passionately intensive about what he wants to do for you in the bringing of this child that he's doing it with much zeal. He is passionately intensive about bringing you a wonderful counselor, mighty God, an everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace. And Isaiah was right, because God did deliver on his promise. Jesus was born 700 years later. And every single one of these job descriptions or every single one of these descriptions of God has been fulfilled. Jesus came to us as Emmanuel, God with us. There was the zeal, there was the passionate intensity being put in flesh. That's how passionate God was about in the form of redemption. To put it in the form of flesh, in the form of his own son. He took on flesh in order to give us wisdom, in order to give us protection, in order to give us fatherly care, and in order to give us an eternal peace as we enter into relationships with a relationship with him and with others. Now, how does this draw itself out for us today? Well, if you haven't found yourself in need of one of these four yet, let me kind of show you how this draws out. The child, because of his coming, There is now no more confusion, because as the wonderful counselor, he brings wisdom. And wisdom dispels confusion. Because of this child, there is no longer any chaos. Why? Because he is the mighty God who brings protection. And protection dissolves chaos. There's no complexity. There's no uncertainty. Father of now, because he is the father of eternity. Not just the father of now, who maybe won't be here tomorrow or the next day or a year from now. He's going to care. He is caring. So this babe has brought no confusion, no chaos, no complexity, no conflicts. Why? Because when the Prince of Peace come, conflicts go away. And together, what do all these add up to? One word. Hope. It gives us all hope. The hope that the nation of Israel didn't feel like they had then, they could look at this and go, there is hope. We today can look at this, and I'm not saying that there's not going to be confusion that comes into our lives, there's not going to be chaos that comes into our lives, there's not going to be complex things that comes into our lives, there's not going to be conflicts. But there is one described in Isaiah 9:6. That was announced then, that was coming, and who has now come as Emmanuel, God with us, who now in the face of all of those things when they do come into our life, we can reflect back and look and go, no, because I have hope. The hope that was sealed by the passionate intensity of Creator God. Again, today, where you are, where I am. Maybe we walked in here this morning feeling a little bit overwhelmed. That's life. That's real. Maybe there's a lot of stuff that we feel has just weighted us down. And if people could wait, that's how we felt emotionally, we'd be stooped over because of the weight that's on our shoulders. The cool thing about this passage is it says that everything is going to be on his shoulders. And everything is, if we'll let him. The thing is, we have to climb up into the arms of that wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we have to wait. I want to invite the guys back up. And as I do, I want to tell you how this, and how this played out in my life in a so dramatic way. And it involved one of my children. I told you about my son, Jordan. And of course, Jordan didn't come with a birth announcement. He came with a birth announcement, didn't come with titles or accomplishments. We didn't know what he was going to be. And we certainly didn't expect that he would be an addict. And when those people asked me back when he was born, well, you named him Jordan. And so you certainly named him that because he is going to be a basketball player. We said, no, that's not the reason we named him Jordan. We just thought it was a cool name. And when they said, well, certainly he's going to be a basketball player, we said, well, we don't know. No one asked us. Is he going to be an addict? Because you see, we don't project those type of things onto children, nor should we. And it would be a little awkward if someone walked up to you if you just had a child and went, "That's a beautiful baby. Is he going to grow up to be a troublemaker?" That's super awkward. And yet God in His sovereignty put my son Jordan through 6 years of addiction. And put us as a family through 6 years of addiction, because if you look, you all live in addiction. So we were living in the midst of this, and honestly, folks, I was screaming out. Literally. I remember one time on my bedroom floor, we got a call that he was unresponsive. I remember falling on our bedroom floor and screaming out to God, wondering where that mighty God was. Oh, I was questioning, wondering where, to me, everlasting Father. To me, when I couldn't be physically with my son in that moment and be the father that I wanted to be to him. Where was that Prince of Peace? Because I'll be honest with you, there was no peace. And it wasn't until I came to that point where I knew I had to abide. I had to abide in the Wonderful Counsel. I had to abide in the Wonderful God, the Everlasting God. I had to abide in the Eternal Father. I had to abide in the Prince of Peace. It wasn't until I was willing to acknowledge that I humanly could not do anything for my own son until I claimed and put myself in a position of abiding in the names of the Son. Then and only then did I feel peace. Did I feel like I was not abandoned by my Heavenly Father? Did I know that there was a mighty God? And did I feel like I was given wisdom in a way that I had never been given before to deal with that situation? Present in the waiting, when we abide in the person, get the that's described here, then we get the presence of the listener. We get the presence of the all-powerful Father who never leaves and protects us. And we get the one who brings rest to our soul. Flip back to that picture for me, if you will, of Jordan. This is him today. This was just taken a few weeks ago. God showed up. It took 6 years. I can't imagine the nation of Israel waiting 700. 6 was long, but God showed up. And he didn't just show up to me, he showed up to our family. Most of all, he showed up to my son as a Wonderful Counselor, as a mighty God, as an everlasting Father, and for the first time in 6 years, showed up in my son's life and brought him peace that for a long time he never knew. The passionate intensity of God through the birth of Jesus Christ brings hope to our lives. Will you pray with me? Daddy, this morning I am thankful that you are an ever-present Father. That with passionate intensity, you have chased us. And you want us biting in your lap today, and you want us to enjoy abiding in the wonderful counselor, mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, who has come as Emmanuel, God with us. I don't know what anyone has walked in here this morning with, but God, you do. I don't know what everyone needs here, but I know that each of us this morning, if we will lay down the selfishness and pride of saying we can do this. Sure, the nation of Israel bowed their back and said, we could do this. We'll just lay that down and say, we can't. We need a baby. Who's going to come? Who's going to give us wisdom? Who's going to be sovereignly watching over us, protecting us? And is going to bring us peace like we've never known. Father, this morning I pray that we might all just claim in our lives. Help us to abide in who you are, because you are all of these things in Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.